And you know, I kind of want to share a little bit because you here in Oklahoma City don't always may or may not know the history of our ministry and what's going on. And like I said, we have a little over, I think it might be 214, but over 210 campuses all over the world. Right now, in session right now, we have over 10,000 students right now training for the ministry. Now, all the campuses are not going on right now. But in fact, Mom and Dad actually, you know, yesterday, and you can see some pictures on their Facebook sites, they did graduation from our first graduation from Rhema, Haiti. Graduated 289 students. Most of them actually are already in full-time ministry. And so, you know, it's just awesome what God's doing, and we're able to train men and women to go out and reach this harvest. I mean, the harvest is truly plenteous, but laborers are few. But you know what? We're doing our part to train people. And just the kind of history of the ministry, history of my grandfather, some of you may or may not know that he was born premature with a, and in fact, the doctor thought he was dead whenever he was born. In fact, his mom, my great grandmother, was having some issues, and so they were treating her. They said he was actually so small he was about to, he was small enough to fit in a shoebox. In fact, my great great grandmother was going to go find a shoebox to go bury him in the yard, and it says when they saw a sign of life in him, all of a sudden, you know, first he looked like he was past, he wasn't even alive, and they saw a sign of life, but you know, it turned out that he had a deformed heart and a blood disease. A lot of that probably, you know, because he was born early. And you know, that they said though, if his heart was completely normal, the blood disease alone would kill him. So you know, he wasn't given a chance to live a very long life. And at the age of 15 or 16, I can't remember exactly, that he was bedfast and partially paralyzed, and he was bedfast for almost a year, or a little over a year, I think. But in fact, he called for the Baptist pastor to come, and he wanted to talk to him about healing. And the Baptist pastor come, and my grandfather, because he was partially paralyzed, that he couldn't speak plain, and said when he got excited, it was even worse. And so whenever he got there, he was going, you know, sound like that. And so the Baptist pastor took him by the hand and said, "Be patient, my boy. In a few days, it'll all be over." And said he laid there in bed waiting to die. You know, it's pretty bad that our pastors don't even give us hope. You know, and so, you know, but anyway, so waiting to die, he didn't die. So he decided he's going to read the Bible. And he said he saw there was an Old Testament and a New Testament. He said, "I might not make it to get through the Old Testament, so I might as well start with the new one." That was his reasoning. And like I said, he was partially paralyzed, so it said it took forever just to turn the page. He could make his hand, you know, and turn the page. And so he started reading the Bible, Matthew and Mark, and he got to Mark 11. You can go ahead and turn there if you want. I'm going to read from the King James Version. Mark 11, I'll start with verse 22. It says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Have faith in God." And the reason I start with 22 is because we have to have faith in God. But 23 and 24 were the two scriptures that he got a hold of. It says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever," meaning whoever, all right, whosoever includes you, "shall say to this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. Mark 11, 24. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." So he read that scripture, Mark 11, 24, and says, "You know what? I desire healing." And he actually, you know, he started talking to, you know, he really hadn't prayed much, and so he just started talking to Jesus like Jesus was any other person. And he said, "Jesus, if you were standing here in front of me and told me, he said, I desire a well body more than anything else in this world. That's all I desire. And said, if you were, Jesus Christ, if you were here to stand right in front of me and tell me I did, not have to call you a liar. Because I desire a well body. And so he prayed, you know, along these lines. It says, you know, what things soever we desire. Now notice it doesn't say what things soever we need. Now, many people say, well, you can't believe God for that. Well, you can believe God for desires of your heart. All right? Whatever you desire. See, really, you have to decide what you can believe God for. Nobody else can make you decide. And so he said, I desire a well body. And so he prayed. And it, you know, and it says that when you pray, that you will believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So when he prayed, he believed. It says you shall have them. So all of a sudden, he heard a voice. He says, well, you know, it was like 10:30 in the morning, 10 a.m., something like that. And he says, he heard the voice says, well, what do well people do at 10:30 in the morning? And my grandfather said, well, they get out of bed. So, you know, he's partially paralyzed. And so he went to the, and he grabbed a hold of the foot post. And, of course, some of you may or may not have seen a bed that has a head post and foot post. But he grabbed a hold of the foot post, and he was paralyzed. But he said, I grabbed a hold of it and just dragged myself out of bed. So when my feet hit the floor, all of a sudden, he said he felt something that felt like pins and needles hitting him on the top of his head, and said oozing through his whole body like honey. And he said that if it wouldn't have felt so good, it would have hurt so bad. Because he said whenever you haven't felt anything, and, you know, in 16 months or however long he was bedfast, it feels good to feel anything, even if it kind of hurts. But what it was his nerves awakening. And, you know, he walked off of that deathbed preaching Jesus. And well, he told the Lord, he said, if you get me off this deathbed, I'll preach Jesus until the day I die. And that's what he did. He walked off preaching Jesus. And, you know, some people think about, you know, when you know, they hear about Brother Hagin. Some people don't even know who Brother Hagin is. They think, because my dad's Brother Hagin, because, you know, he's, and my grandfather died in 2003, but you know, a lot of people looked at him as a man of great faith or whatever, but when he walked off the deathbed, he was 17 years old and didn't know much about the Bible. Didn't have anybody to really tell him much. He was able to read the Bible and get healed. Isn't that amazing? You actually get healed by reading the Bible. He didn't need anybody else to write a book. He didn't even give a big offering. He didn't fast and pray. He just prayed fast. You know, the Bible says that I'll only believe. All things are possible to those that believe. And so he just believed. And I think one thing that separates our ministry is that when we teach on the subject of faith, now we do believe in faith for finances, but we teach it more healing because that's what happened to my grandfather. He got healed. Now, a lot of other ministers, they emphasize finances more because that was their testimony. You know, they were in a financial situation. They believed God and God met their needs. And you know, God can meet your needs in a financial situation as well. But we always teach faith for healing. That was what, you know, what the you know, my grandfather learned. And that's what's been passed on. And so in 1951, my grandfather had a vision. And the Lord told him to go teach my people faith. And that was the mandate that was given to him, was to go teach faith. And some of you have seen, well, it's actually part of our Rainbow Bible Church logo, there's a faith shield right there. That was designed actually by one of our graduates, designed that faith shield, or the shield of faith. And we incorporate that all over our ministry because that was what we were told to do, is go teach that message of faith. And my grandfather was contemplating with the Lord later on, how am I going to get this message out to the world? I'm just one man. And the Lord told him to put it in tape form at the time and book form. And, you know, that's what's amazing, how our books have gone around the world. You know, we have, I said, printed books in over 100 languages. And, you know, I know that we have 3 or 4 million believers' authority in the Russian language that was printed and smuggled into Russia long time ago. And, well, in fact, in Nigeria, we brought over 250,000 books one time, you know, and gave them to the people of Nigeria. And from that, you know, it was life-changing for the country. In fact, whenever the Berlin Wall fell down, and many of us figured that would never happen, we had 12 pastors from East Germany come to one of our seminars right after that, and they attributed the Christians getting a hold of the message that was in the authority of the believer, because they got a hold of that book, the believer's authority. And, you know, it's just been an inspiration. And in the three books, and I believe all three, you should get all three of these books, and we actually have what we call the legacy editions now, because they're some of our three most famous books, is The Believer's Authority, How to Be Led by the Spirit, and The Name of Jesus. Incidentally, those are the three books that the three different pastors in Dubai, you know, said that were inspirational to them. And those are, you know, if you get a hold of those three books, you'll learn a lot about what our ministry teaches and how we teach. But it's about the believers getting a hold of the authority themselves. You know, a lot of times it seems, you know, in the world that we lived in, that the minister almost didn't want to give too much to the people in the church, because then they didn't need the minister anymore, because they knew how to believe God themselves. But we're not, you know, we want to teach you how to believe God. You know, because you can believe God just like, because it's up to whatever you say, not whatever the pastor says. But, you know, many people almost think, well, the pastor needs to get it for you. No, he doesn't. You can get it for yourself. Right. And, you know, the believer's authority has, you know, has changed the world. Incidentally, you know, when it comes to the Christian book world, just like, you know, the secular book world, you know, they have like the top 50 books, and they print it in a monthly magazine, the top 50 sellers overall in the Christian industry. And most of the top 50 sellers are newer books, but the believer's authority hovers around 50th mark, almost, you know, so it hits about six times a year. It's in the full publication or whatever. So it's just interesting how many of those books keep selling and keep selling and keep selling, because it's just an inspirational book. You know, talks about the authority of the believer. But I guess it was 1973, my grandfather was ministering at camp meeting, the very first camp meeting there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he prophesied that we're going to start a Bible school. Now, he says that he don't even remember saying it. In fact, they had to actually go back and get the tape and play it for him, because, you know, it was, oh, I didn't say that. But he did. We're going to start a Bible school. And he said that, you know, that a lot of the, you know, the seminaries have turned into, they teach, you know, 20% Bible stuff, and 80% is more of history and all kinds of other stuff. You know, he said, we want to turn that around. We want to teach 80%, you know, of spiritual stuff, because we want to train you up spiritually. You know, there's other things that you need to know, because you can't, you know, if you're called to be a pastor, you know, you have to know how to run a business. You have to know some things about finances. You have to know, I mean, things about marketing. So there are some other things that we do teach as well in some classes, but for the most part, it's not practical stuff. It's spiritual things. And he said, we're going to start a Bible school. Like I said, he didn't even know. He said he was going to, you know, said it. But then after he figured out, he said it, well, you know, his goal, my grandparents' goal, it said, is to train 50 students a year. And, you know, the Lord told my grandfather is one way to get this message out, besides the books, was to train students to be able to teach this same message of faith. And so, you know, so in, that was camp meeting of and that's in July of 73. And so whenever he announced they're going to start a Bible school, so that year they were trying to figure out how they're going to start a Bible school and things like that. And then in fact, my dad said that they were interviewing people to come and start the Bible school. Then finally, my dad knew he was supposed to be the one that started it, but you know, he had to wait for my grandfather to say so. My grandfather finally decided, he said, well, Ken, you went to Bible school. You start the Bible school. And so my dad said he got out his handbook from the Bible school he went to and wrote out some curriculum. And in July of 1974, they announced Rhema Bible Training Center, now Rhema Bible Training College, was starting in September. Now, and the only other advertisement they had in the June issue, I guess, of the Word of Faith magazine, they put in a little advertisement about it. But the biggest push we put was in July. Now, if you're advertising anything, the start in July is not a good time to advertise. Whenever you're going to start in a month and a half later, actually, that's the end of July, and so it's going to start a month later. But somehow, some way, 77. People showed up in September from all over the world, or not all over the United States, not the world at the time. Now not everyone made it, you know, because some people dropped out for whatever reason. Some people, maybe they didn't feel their call, but you know, in after the first year in 1975, we graduated 58 students. And I'll say it this way, that we graduated 58 students in a borrowed building in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And what started out with 58 students has turned into over 60,000 graduates worldwide, all around the world. You know, but the other side about it is my grandfather's vision was to train 50 a year. Now, we had more than 50 show up the first year, but, you know, a little more than 50 graduated. And the next year, I think we graduated 76, 77, something like that. Then we moved to the campus and we started graduating in the hundreds. And then went on and on and on and on and on. But that was just in the United States. And in 1979, we opened our first overseas campuses, one in Johannesburg, South Africa, the other one in Perth, Australia. Those were the first overseas campuses. We've gone through a lot of transition, a lot of time, but you know, a lot of good graduates came out of those two campuses. But really, the other campuses opened up sometime in the mid '90s. We had like 15 Bible schools, training men and women to go around the world. And so, but it was amazing because our graduates, you know, went around the world, and we have over 2,500 churches pastored by a Rhema graduate. At one point in time, that we had a Rhema graduate either starting a new church or taking over an existing church every 3.5 days. That's the way it averaged out. You know, I'm not sure what the stats are now, but they're going around the world. And you know, and my grandfather used to say that he said that we had a Rhema graduate on every inhabited continent of the earth. You know, because we didn't have any in Antarctica. Although that we have figured out since then that only scientists live in Antarctica or whatever, but we've had a couple of Rhema graduates who have been to Antarctica and have, you know, they're scientists as well. And so they have ministered in Antarctica as well. But my grandfather always said that the sun never sets on a Rhema graduate, because most of those are Rhema USA graduates. But now it's awesome to say that the sun never sets on Rhema students. You know, somebody is training at Rhema all day long, all 24 hours of the day. I mean, you know, like I said, when I did the graduation for Rhema Thailand, that's a 12-hour difference. You know, so it's 7:19 p.m. and so in Thailand it's 7:19 a.m. And so we have graduates training for the ministry all around the world. And you know, like I said, we have 48 nations right now. We've trained over 65,000 graduates. Our biggest country is Brazil. We have over 80 campuses in Brazil alone, they're training the most graduates. In fact, it won't take them long to eclipse the amount of graduates in Rhema USA, because their school alone at the capital in the capital city of Brasilia, which is their largest graduation. I mean, I think we did had 500 people. That we did a couple years ago that graduated from that school, and that was only one of many. You know, I'm not sure about last year, but the year before, they had 40 different graduations, because sometimes some of the schools come together, and there might be three or four schools that come together to form for one graduation. But they did 40 graduations, 80 campuses, but they had 40 different graduation services It takes almost a month for everybody to graduate through all the different campuses. And it's amazing, you know, what God's doing in Brazil. And that's one reason that I go to Brazil quite a bit is because that's our biggest influx of students, you know. And Brazil is primarily, they were a Catholic country, and most people know about Jesus. But, you know, when we're going over there to Asia, we have so many people that don't even know who Jesus is. You know, they're Hindu, Buddhist. They don't know. They can't relate to Jesus. And, you know, and my grandfather always said, whenever he said the bamboo curtain was the next thing to fall. You know, praise God, we're fixing to launch our internet Bible school in Chinese. Because it's not always easy. There were so many people in China that wanted a school, and it's also not always easy and not always safe to even have. Because in China, they're not necessarily 100% against Christians. In fact, the best way, I know there's a lot of organizations that send Bibles to China. The best way to send a Bible to China is go to Amazon.com, find someone that lives in China, go order it there, and they'll send it right to their house. They print it in China. So they're not anti Christianity. They don't like a lot of people assembling together in one place because they don't know what they're going to do. All right, so they get real nervous when more than 25 people gather at a location, you know, for some kind of meeting. They don't like that because, you know, they could be planning whatever. And so anyway, but, you know, I'm not sure how big this Chinese school is going to be, but you know, with roughly 1.2 billion people in China, you know, it could be really big. In fact, China, now it's really hard because they don't really have a census like us, but in China there's roughly 1.2 billion, maybe 1.3, you know, give or take 100,000 here or there, that they say there's more Christians right now in China than there are in the United States of America. It's because there's so many people in China. Because United States, we have, I'm talking about born again Christians, United States, we only have like 200 million people. And so, you know, and they're 1.2, so they're like a billion people more than us. And if they haven't eclipsed us yet, they will in the next few years. And so it's interesting, you know, what God's doing. And like I said, today's International Rhema Day, and the purpose of International Rhema Day is to pray for our overseas campuses, you know, and to give a special offering, you know, to help continue the work overseas. And, you know, you guys have a very unique situation because you get to hear about our trips, you know, overseas and what we're doing. I mean, like I said, I'm going to Hong Kong in a couple of weeks to do graduation there. Mom and Dad just did Haiti's graduation. I was in Thailand, then in Dubai. And then Mom and Dad are fixing to go to Norway to minister. Then they're going to go to Samoa and Australia to minister. And, you know, you guys share us with the world. You know, and the deal is, I don't want us, because the church is really not about the world, because a church should be about the community that we live in, all right? But we also need to be mindful of the world. And you know, I do want to encourage you guys, if you haven't gone on a missionary trip, to go on one. And like I said, every March we take three missions trips, and we always advertise to you guys as well. We haven't had anyone yet from the church here go. And you know, some people say, "Well, I'm a little older than other people." I mean, you know, when this last in Colombia 2 years ago, I had one lady, I think she was 73, that went on my mission trip. All right, and so, you know, so you can be a little older, it's okay, but it's an awesome experience. But God's doing great things through our ministry, and you know, we're an extension of a larger organization, you know, and it's just amazing, you know. We talk about the church in Tulsa a lot because you know we're there. But like I said, Rainbow Church, Bangkok is meeting every day. We in Australia, we actually call the Rhema Family Church for whatever reason. They consider Rainbow Church, but you know we have sister churches all over the world, and so it's amazing what God's doing through our organization, and you're a part. And you know, I want you to continue to pray for these folks that are overseas and you know, pray for divine connection, especially in Dubai. I mean, you know, the Middle East is obviously a real pivotal point. And, you know, if you read end time prophecy and all this stuff, I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, it's all, you know, we're limited of in public what we can do, but in private we can say anything we want to. And really it's not up to us. It's up to the, what happens is a lot of the Muslims, they'll ostracize them if they turn to Christianity, then they'll turn on each other. In fact, some of the businessmen actually say I think the reason Santos really likes us is they trust the Christians more than the Muslims, because the Christians are not going to tell on them. The Muslims they tell on each other for not upholding all the religious laws and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, okay, Glenn says the U.S. population is over 300 million now. All right, so, you know, but there's roughly 1.2 or 1.3 billion people in China and almost as many in India. And what's amazing is that China's the most populated country in the world, India's number two, and the U.S. is number three. But we're almost a billion behind. I think from India, I think we're like 800,000. So it's just kind of interesting. But God is moving all around the world. And it's just an awesome opportunity. And so something I didn't say is that, you know, Rhema, our church, we support, I don't know, hundreds of missionaries that are grad. We support them on a monthly basis, you know, to keep them on the mission field. And it's... my dad, you know, he said, you know, once you start supporting a missionary, you can't not support him, because you know, I mean, they're dependent on that to stay in the mission field. So it's interesting because we don't ever take anyone off. We just keep adding to it, you know, and we wish we could support more. And you know, and thank God. And like I said, this is one day that we choose out of the year to talk about Rhema, to support Rhema. And speaking of that, I mean, you know, some of you get desire to go to school. Now in the U.S. we only have one school in Tulsa, so it's not too far away. But you know, it might be a little too far for some of you to commute. I know some people that commute from Oklahoma City. That's kind of a long ways. But you know, if you want to go, it's there. But maybe you know someone that once been looking for a Bible school. It's a great place to go. We believe that we're the best. You know, in fact, a lot of other schools, they advertise them, they're just like Rhema, but you know, we are Rhema. And Rhema stands for excellence, not literally. Rhema stands Rhema actually means a spoken word in Greek. But when people see Rhema, they think of excellence, and that's one thing that we endeavor to do. And that's one thing in Dubai, we really would like to get our own compound, our own land, because we believe we can do it better than what they're doing. Because what they do is they have one compound, many churches are able to rent out, but their sound system is not really good, and their bathroom facility is not really good. And, you know, Dubai, they have a lot of money, and they're about excellence in everything. And so, you know, when we get the opportunity, we're going to talk about how to the government, how we can, we want to show excellence. We believe that you know, that we should have excellence in everything that we do. And so that's one thing about Rhema. Well, before we go, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for everything that we're doing around the world. But Father God, we thank you if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father God, we thank you that they won't leave this place without making him the Lord and Savior of their life. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, lift your hand. We want to minister to you tonight. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, at one time I knew Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior, but I've kind of turned my back and went away, started doing life my own way. But tonight I want to come back home. I want to rededicate my life to him. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I'm born again. I know I'm born again. But I've heard you guys talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You know, Acts 2:4 said they're all filled with the Spirit and begin to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And maybe you've never been filled with the Spirit. Now, you can make it to heaven without being filled with the Spirit, but it's a whole lot easier to live here on the earth being filled. And so if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, we encourage you tonight to lift your hand. We want to minister to you. I don't see any hands. Father God, we just thank you right now. If anyone is here that's not saved, we thank you, Father, for sending laborers across their path. We thank you, Father, for them changing their life. And we just thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Before we go, if there's anyone here that needs healing in their body, if you need healing in your body, come on down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. And I know one thing exciting, whenever talking to Pastor Dill, you know, they have a couple services they could call miracle and healing services, you know. And the thing is, we should expect God to heal us. Amen. And that's one thing that we teach here, man. We expect God to heal us. So anyone else, I don't care how small. See, a lot of times people say, well, it's just a small thing. I only have a headache. Well, you know what? God doesn't want you to have a headache. I don't care how small or how big it is. God wants to touch your body. God wants to heal you. He doesn't want you to suffer because he loves you that much. You know, the Bible says that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Our God loves us so much that he wants us completely healed. He wants us completely well, from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. You know, and there is no difference. And, you know, people think that there's degrees of healing. There's not. You know, the Bible says it takes the faith of a grain of mustard seed to move a mountain. So it doesn't even take that much faith to get healed. You know, I mean, moving a mountain seems impossible, but the Bible says the things that are impossible to man are possible with God. With God, all things are possible. Amen. Praise God. You that are down here, I want you to do a couple of things. First of all, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift both hands toward heaven. And I want you to think about Jesus Christ and your healing. That's all I want you to think about. In a few moments, I'm going to come. I'm going to minister to you. And when I lay my hands on you, I'm going to say a prayer. And you're going to feel the power of God hit you. And when you do, I want you to say that it's mine, or there it is, or I take it now. Something like that. I want you to release your faith. Father God, we just thank you right now for these precious men and women. And we thank you, Father, for the healing power, a miracle-working power of God working in their bodies to effect a healing and a cure. We thank you, Father, that as that power goes into them, we thank you, Father, that it drives out whatever Satan's trying to do. We thank you, Father, for a complete healing. And we thank you, Father, for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, be healed now. That's it. That's it. That's it. The power of God's working. It's working in your body to effect a healing and a cure. Complete healing. Complete healing. Hallelujah. In the name. The name. That's it right there. That's it right there. The power of God. The power of God. The power of God. The poder de Dios. The power of God is working in your body. Sombra basanda. Oh, that's it right now. That's it right now. That's it right now. It's working. It's flowing all over you. It's flowing all over you in the name, the name, the name, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name, the name, the name, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. 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 Well, praise God. Like I said, today we just want to talk to you a little bit about what Rhema is doing. Want to give you a little history of the ministry if you didn't already know it. Obviously, we have many good books and I always say tapes, but I guess we don't have tapes anymore. CDs out there, DVDs, you know, and it'll be a blessing to you. And, you know, if you want to know more about what we do, you can go out there and read some more material. Like I said, I encourage all of you to get a hold of those three books that we talked about: the name of Jesus, believer's authority, how to be led by the Spirit. If you don't remember which one they are, just tell Melinda you want the three big books, and she knows what they are. Amen. I want to say one more thing. Based on an email I got, is that Rainbow Valley Church, actually, we used to have a slogan, and I like the slogan better. Our slogan now is Living Life Unlimited. It's a good marketing slogan, but our slogan that used to be, which I like it better, actually, I've incorporated it in our ministry, going out and touching the people, you know, in disaster areas. It's bringing hope, help, and healing to your world. Now, I believe in going all over the world, but to your world. And I believe that we, as the members here, should bring hope, help, and healing to your world. You know, and by taking a hold of what you learn here and just being a light to people you're around, you know, sometimes you don't have to go out and witness to everybody. Just share the love of Jesus. Just be nice sometimes. I mean, this is what we need to do. You know, just be a nice person. Now, the Bible says to be all things to all men so we may win some. You know, some people, you'll never win them. They'll just, you know, when they see something different about you, they want to know, why are you different? And I'll tell you, the time whenever you can minister to them is whenever them or their family members are having some sickness or disease or they're going through a tough time. That's whenever you can minister to them. In fact, it's really interesting because a lot of times, you know, a lot of people will say, well, I'm not sure if I, they'll say something like, I'm not sure if I believe in all the God business or something like that. But you know what? When they get sick, they'll ask people to pray. I mean, there's some people, you know, on Facebook, and, you know, by looking at their stuff, they don't look like the model Christian or whatever, but every time they get sick, they ask, hey, will you guys pray for me? You know, because people believe in prayer. And I tell you what, it's a great opportunity. But people don't really care how much you know if they don't know how much you care. And I believe Jesus always cared. You know, and one thing that the ministry of Jesus is it's interesting because the sinners were attracted to Jesus. Something must have attracted, you know, sinners are not attracted to people that seem to be against them, you know, and, you know, they're looking for someone who's for them. And they always felt that Jesus was for them. A lot of times that they feel the modern day Christians are against them. In fact, that's one of the biggest barriers that we have to overcome is a lot of people think that we hate them because they might be in sin. But you know what? Jesus came for the whole world. He died for the sinners. And, you know, we don't have to like sin. We don't want, you know, but the thing about it is, you know, the reason they're sinning is because they're deceived. They don't know any better. You know, and it's all about love, not about hate. Hate never does anything but just causes more upheaval. I mean, you know, we've seen it in the news. Saw it this week in Baltimore. You see a lot of hate. You know, you hear things called hate crimes and stuff like that. And you know, and I don't know what happened over there. And it looked like some injustice was done. But that doesn't. But the retaliation shouldn't have happened like that either. Because people's businesses don't need to get torn up just because somebody's mad. You know. But you know, that's how we as humans spread our emotion, and sometimes we have to let the God on the inside come out. You know, instead of getting mad about everything, just trust in God. You know, God cannot and shall not fail. Amen. You have any announcements you want to make? My mom's birthday card in the May Fellowship is going to be right here. Amen. Well, the way we dismiss around here is we'll be back at the door to shake your hand. If you don't want to shake my hand, you can go out that door. God bless you guys. Have a great day.